good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If you're skulking around at the back, come and sit down. Come on, come on. Quicker than that. Welcome. Welcome to Christchurch this morning. The future is another world, but today we're here to meet with God and to worship Him and praise Him and have fellowship together. But all sorts of things are going on, and there is quite a bit of stuff all about this virus. So I'm going to call Tom straight away, who's going to give us some information.
Guess what I've been talking about this week?
Obviously, we need to be sensible and we need to follow all the advice. Just to say that the diocese is giving me quite regular updates, as with the wardens and other clergy, advice on bits and pieces to do, which of course we'll be following. The main thing is that we continue to wash our hands. You'll be encouraged to, I think there's the anti-bac or soap and water in the toilets, to do that on arrival in church. Certainly the refreshments team especially will be doing that before they touch the bits and pieces that are being set out. So do please make sure we're all doing that, not just for our sakes, of course, but for the sakes of everyone else, because obviously we might pass it on. Also to say, Holy Communion in particular will be a bit different next week. We'll share the peace, but we won't be shaking hands with each other.
It's 2 weeks' time.
Oh, thank you. It's 2 weeks' time. Thank you,
Terry. Next week is Mothering Sunday.
Next week.
You bring your mother, whatever age.
So, we won't be shaking hands during the peace, but we'll be sharing it, but in other ways. We won't be having what they call the common cup. In other words, we won't be sharing together the wine using the same cup. We'll just be receiving the bread when we come to it in a couple of weeks' time. I think Chris Cole is going to be talking a little bit more about sort of caring for each other during this time. But do be praying for each other. Some of us may be thinking, oh, this is not really going to affect me too much, we'll be fine. But there'll probably be other people who are very, very genuinely concerned about this. So do please be remembering them in your prayers and be respectful to others who may be extremely concerned about this. Just also to mention, we've been praying for our church and its ministry. There's some cards at the back if you didn't get one. During this time of Lent, I was talking last week about the challenges that we face as financially. So as members of this church, there should be a letter for you, which is on the table at the back. Those of you here last week will have picked it up. Please do pick it up this week if you haven't. And also anyone else who you think you can deliver it to, just to save us stamps on postage. So please have a scan down. If there's not a letter for you, but you're sort of becoming part of this church, then there's some blank copies, or I think the bits of paper. Do please take one of those, and do be praying about your response over these next few weeks. This is a real challenge we're facing, but the sense I get is if we all look to God together and respond as each one of us can, as best we can, then I think we'll get over this.
Good. Chris? There we go.
Yes, well, following on from that, it is likely that over the coming days and weeks, some of us will need to self-isolate. In that situation, if people are stuck for any supplies for shopping, medicines, whatever else, the crash team will be available to assist. The crash team is now, the contact points are going to be either my Liz Cole or Jane Milsom. You can contact either of those and they will organise getting stuff picked up for you if that need arises. We could also, at the same time, do with just a few more drivers for the crash team. So if you've already are signed up to be a driver with the crash team, that's fine. If you haven't and you would be able to do that, whether it's weekdays or weekends or whatever, there's a list on the information desk. Given the press speculation this morning, it would be quite helpful if people under 70 could sign up. We don't know where that's going, but if you're able to offer that service, that would be great. Sign up on the information desk. We'll add you to the list. The other thing I've been asked to mention by Liz and Chris Webber is that the Ladies Together meeting tomorrow is off.
Yeah. If you weren't asked to do that.
We can pass that information on to anybody who knows that might not know, would be very good. They're not all cancelled yet. The reason is, in fact, that Christine Baker, who some of you know, out of four, went into hospital this week, has now been diagnosed with pneumonia. And the hospital are, as a precaution, treating it that it may have come through coronavirus. I stress that has not been confirmed. But as a precautionary measure, Ladies Together will not meet tomorrow. It doesn't mean they're all cancelled yet, but please watch out every week for any notices, because it's a moving situation, so obviously we don't know where that's going. Yeah, yeah, okay, we will get information on the website, or obviously you can speak to Liz or Christine. Thank you.
Good. Right. There's loads of stuff on the green paper. Hurry up, Tom. You were due at Emmanuel nearly 10 minutes ago. You took too long with the notice. Right. The other thing is that Tom, who's just disappearing to run to Emmanuel, led a nice team of five of us. I was there. Tom was there. We had Darren with us, and we had Ray Pilgrim and Jaden Pilgrim, who was a great asset to the team. And we completed the men's march. So if you sponsored us to help Western Hospice, and they might have a heavy caseload coming up as well, there's if you signed up at the form at the back, or even if you didn't, you can put money on the information desk and sign the form even today and sponsor us for doing that. That's about all. I don't know why I'm holding this. I've got a microphone.
Yeah.
Where is it? Right, I have to put that one there. Right. So, here we go. We're going to do, this morning, passing the peace to each other as a greeting. And what we're going to use is British Sign Language. Now, if you put your hands together like that, and then go out and come up, that's it. Now that, which actually looks to somebody else like a smile, is the sign for peace. And so we can say, peace be with you. And it's good to mouth it, because that also means, really, it means quiet, you see. So if you go, that means shut up. And you don't want to do that. You want to smile and mouth the words, peace. All right? Which way up? Fingers up. I can't do it. Fingers up. Oh, yeah. Like that. Ah, right. So it's fingers up. I didn't say about fingers up. All right. So it's like that. Be with you. Okay. And we're going to stand, and we're going to do that to each other in a minute. But first, we're going to remind ourselves that, no, stand up. And before we do it, we're going to listen to the psalmist reminding us about God's presence with us, and in whose name we meet, and our trust in him. So, over to you, Keith.
Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Amen.
Amen. And fingers up. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Right. A lot of you are putting extra words in. So, having reminded ourselves of that, we're going to stay standing. If you want the words in front of you, they're in this book, number 53. But we're going to praise God. You're the Word of God the Father. Number 53 in the book. Would you like to be seated? It's that God that we've come to worship. And I'm going to muck John around because I missed out the prayer at the beginning. And we're going to go back to it. If we can. Yeah, we hope. We will do. Living God. Right. Because we've just used our hands to signal peace. And part of the thing, particularly some of the young people are doing, is learning that we worship God with our whole body. If we can't necessarily clasp hands with each other, if we can't even get too close to each other, we can worship God and whatever we're doing. So we're going to use our hands in this prayer. When we talk about our... Does everybody know where their brain is? I know some of you are challenged as to whether you've got one at all. But when we talk about our minds, we're going to head. Our hearts are here and our lips are there. Okay, now you needn't actually touch them, you can just point to them. And when we say the words, that's where we're going to go. So, living God, by your word, you create everything out of nothing. Living God, by your living word, Jesus, you transform us by your love. Leading God, you guide us by your written word. Open our minds that we may think clearly. Open our hearts that we may love freely. Open our lips that we may speak truthfully today and all our days. Amen. But when we come to this great God, then we come knowing that what we need is to be made right by him. Sometimes we're unnecessarily anxious or fearful. Sometimes we've done things that we shouldn't, or said things that we shouldn't. Sometimes we've forgotten to do some things that we should do. And in all those cases, we need God's forgiveness. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart God will not despise. Our sins accuse us. We confess them to God. We have not always worshipped you, God, as our creator. Lord, have mercy. We have not always followed Christ, our Saviour. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
We have not always trusted in the Spirit as our guide. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Wash away our wrongdoing and cleanse us from our sin. Renew a right spirit within us and restore us to the joy of your salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the Father of all mercy cleanse us from our sins and restore us in his image to the praise and glory of his name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And it's good to be here and to know that God welcomes us into his presence, forgives whatever is past, and wants to have fellowship with us. And it's great that you've come, and we want to be here in God's presence. And so we're going to sing together, to be in your presence, not rushing away, just taking time to recognize that here we meet not just with one another, but with God himself. It's 951 in the hymn book, if you want the words in front of you. The hymn book that looks like this. Otherwise, we'll stand and sing the words on the screen. If you'd like to be seated, it always seems funny to stand up and sing our next song, but it's a recognition that the presence of the God we're meeting in is the Lord, not just the Lord of creation, the Lord of salvation, and the Lord of our lives. And so, Lord, we bow down before you, and we're going to sing it through twice. We bow down and confess, you are Lord in this place, and we're going to sing it quietly as our prayer, and we'll sing it through twice.
Thank you.
And in the silence, would you like to bring your own concerns and prayers to God? Or listen to what the Lord of heaven and earth might be saying to you today? As we confess He's Lord of our lives, in the silence, let's meet with Him. God, who hears our prayers and who speaks to us in the quiet, small voice, continue to lead and guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And God speaks to us through His Word. So we're going to have a couple of readings from the Bible now, one after the other. Yes.
The first reading is from Exodus chapter 17, and it's verses 1 to 7, sorry. So, and it's on page 75 of the Pew Bibles, starting at verse 1. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, travelling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarrelled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarrelled, and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is coming from Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. It can be found on page 1052 in the Church Bibles. So, Luke 18, starting at verse 9. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I have." But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven. But he beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
A story for us all. Let's pray for us adults and for the children before they go off to their various groups. Lord, your word can teach us. Teach us at every age and at every stage of our journey with you. We pray for our young people and for their leaders as they go off to their own activities, that you would bless them and help them to grow in your love. And for ourselves here, with who stay in the church. Bless us, we pray. And may we hear your voice through Keith's words. For Christ's sake. Amen. So. There we go. Yes, you can rush away now, Zach. I wanted you to rush away a bit earlier, but. Off you go. And Keith, you're on.
Let's bow our heads, shall we, everyone, please? Lord, we're in troubled times in our country at the moment. And there's a lot of people around us who are very frightened. And as the days go on over these next few weeks, there's going to be even more people frightened, and we may even be tempted to join them. So Lord, help us to have our eyes set on you for the right, in the right way and for the right things. So we pray for your blessing upon us now. Please speak through me and speak to each one of us, we beg. And we ask this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. My son, who lives in Gran Canaria, is now in lockdown. And they live in quite a small flat with four of them and a dog. And a big dog as well. And we're just wondering how they're going to get on. So I spoke to him and he said, oh, you'll understand soon enough, Dad. I'm not in a flat. I haven't got a dog, but I have got a wonderful wife, so I'm all right. Our story today is a different story, but I want to link it later on. Jesus told this story, and he told it as it says at the beginning, for people who thought that they were, in my words, great guys in God's work and looked down on others. Do you know it's easy to do it? Let's be very clear with each other. The Pharisees were the good guys of the time, the best of the best, and the keenest of the keen. If you wanted to do something, the Pharisees did it and more. They wore special clothes so that everyone knew how dedicated they were. They attended services in the temple regularly. If everyone went 10 times, they went 20. They gave generously, and you saw in the video that lovely vision of them throwing money up in the air and people scrambling for it. It wasn't quite like that. But they were generous givers. They prayed and fasted, and instead of doing it once, they did it twice a week. Just simply to encourage others. And most people strove to achieve the level, but they achieved it. They did it. And they prayed standing up. And they prayed out loud. And everyone heard. And he stands there and he thanks God that he's not like other men. And in a sense, he wasn't, was he?
He was the best of the best. He had club badges all down his arm for righteousness and for good living. You know, the way that we did as young men, sorry girls, but you had brownie badges probably. He had them for everything to do with religious attendance. And his eye catches the tax collector. You can almost feel him doing it. And in the video, in the picture, in the cartoon, you see the tax collector on one side. And so the Pharisee says, I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. Was the tax collector? Yes, he was. I'm not unjust. Was the tax collector? Yes, he was. I don't know about the adulterer bit. I've no idea. We don't know, do we? But if anything like the soaps, if you ever watch EastEnders or any of the others, you will know that adultery is rife in our country if soaps are a picture. Then the Pharisee stands there and he picks out and he finishes his satisfied prayer, doesn't he? And you almost feel, as when you read it, the scriptures, Jesus saying he's finished his conversation with himself and the people are hearing, but God, not with God. And the tax collector cries out just this very short phrase, God. Oh, I didn't realise. I forgot the mic, I'm sorry. Pretend I've hit my chest. God be merciful to me. What a clown. I'm sorry. God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus makes this assessment, doesn't he? The tax collector goes home, and then the phrase is justified. It's not just plucked out of everywhere. Justified. In Romans 3:23, which if you want to learn a verse this morning, please, this is the verse to learn. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and justified by his grace as a gift. When we were teenagers, I went to a very good church. I was very fortunate because I went there and they had good youth work. And the youth leader was one of the people that I looked up to. And he taught us this. Justified can be said as this. Just as if I'd never sinned. Just as if I'd never... It's worth remembering, please. Because that's the situation. If you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, that's the situation. And that was what Jesus said to this guy who was... He was an extortioner and he probably was unjust, but he'd just come there and asked for forgiveness and it was given to him. You know, I don't know whether you are good on computers, and I am some a bit, but you know when you go and you've got it all your screen up and you've got a delete button, you know the delete button on the thing here, and you put your finger on the end and it runs across. Have you done it and enjoyed it? And especially when you've done a rotten thing and you want to take it all off, and it goes across the screen and it runs all the way up to the top and your screen's clear, isn't it? Do you know, Jesus is saying to you and to that guy there, I've hit the delete button. I've hit the delete button for all the things that you've done wrong, and they've all been wiped off. One, all gone. Do you really feel that in your heart today? That God's actually hit the delete button for all the things that you've ever done wrong? Because you've asked for forgiveness today, and so have I. And I've done some things which I regret bitterly. But God's hit the delete button. It's gone right across. And to this guy, he hit the delete button. And the Pharisee, when he looks down at this guy, doesn't really see it. He thinks he's the one that's been. And he has no delete button for him. He didn't ask for forgiveness. He just told God what a wonderful guy he was. And here, the guy on the side has a delete button. You see, we're going to be not in the same situation as the Pharisee, but we are going to be in a similar situation with all the people around us.
We're going to be living in the coming days amongst a whole nation of very frightened people. How many people around are going to be looking at the statistics? They're not looking at the statistics of the number who've recovered. They will be looking at the statistics of the number who've died, won't they? And they're thinking, if 1%, if 1% have died, it means 99% have recovered, haven't they? But in point of fact, all of this will bring fear. And we are going to be surrounded by people who are frightened. And they're going to be frightened of what's going to happen. And they're going to be frightened of whether they're going to be one of the 1%. And you and I are not, should not be frightened. We should be assured, because you and I need to say, keep saying to each other, we're actually, do you remember the old song, the Negro spiritual about being on the train to heaven? We're actually on our way to heaven now. And that's where where we're going to stop. We're not going nowhere, we're going somewhere. And you and I are in that place, and that gives you and I an assurance in this situation. We were laughing in the vestry before we came in, and Terry was talking about one of Becca's prayers, where she prayed, talking about crossing the Red Sea. We're not going over it, we can't go round it, but we want you to come through it with us. And that's what you and I need to be praying over the next days. Lord, we can't go round it. We can't get over it. It's going to come. We've got to walk with you through it. And as we go through it, we can know that he's going to be with us. In 1968, before all of you were born, I was appointed to a totally defeated congregation. There was a congregation in this church. Things were done differently in 1968 when I was appointed. I'd not met the congregation. I'd not even met the church wardens. I'd been to the church once, and Jill and I had agreed that we'd go to this place in Wolverhampton. And quite a difficult decision, but one that we made happily together. And I got there, and the congregation, you will be pleased to know, numbered 16. And I stood there at the front, and the archdeacon had taken me one side and told me, if it hadn't changed in 3 years, Hullett, because I was on a 3-year contract, it will be closed and we'll put our money somewhere else. And in a very real sense, I thought it was up to me. It really was up to both of us, but I sense it was up to me. We had 2 young children, so there were 4 of us. I looked at the congregation, and they seemed ancient, absolutely ancient. After all, I was 31, and most of them were over 60, so they were all ancient as far as I was. Sorry about that, but I am in that category now. I looked at it. The church was filthy. The grounds were filthy. The first thing we did on Monday morning was take the drain rods out and break the blockage in the sewers. But anyway, that's another story, and I'll tell you some other stories about it, all of which are pretty graphic. I knew as I stood there that something had to change. And I prayed in my head that God would sweep everything away and start anew. Well, in 1969, that's the year afterwards, we painted the inside of the church, Magnolia, launched an appeal to replace the inefficient and dirty gas heaters. You laugh about how much money we wanted. It was £106 we needed. And we had no idea where it was going to come from. In the middle of the appeal, on one Sunday morning, in through the door over here, because there were a couple of double doors, and I usually stood inside to see how many were going to come, in through the door shuffled Mrs. Gask. Mrs. Gask had a stick and didn't walk properly. Her feet sort of moved along. And she was, I'd no idea whether she was 99 or 69 or 59, but I'd visited her at home. I knew she was ancient, that's all. I visited her at home, and I sat in her home, and she lived in Broome Avenue. And Broome Avenue, because it was the era of milk bottles on the doorstep, which a few of you might remember, but Broome Avenue was one of the streets off the main road that they broke a milk bottle on the end of the road every week. Every week. There was always glass on the end of the road of Broome Avenue and one or two other avenues around there. And that was not just to stop the police in panda cars coming around, but it was mainly to stop the bailiffs being able to rush them, because bailiffs were around all the time. And it was one of those estates. And I went and knocked on Mrs. Gask's door, because she said, come and visit me any time, I'm never out. I went in, and she got nothing on, you know, the mantel shelf above the fireplace. She got nothing on the top, no ornaments, anything. She had two cups and two saucers, and she had two chairs, one chair there, which was what we would call a kitchen chair, and on this side, it had been once in the long distant past, a comfortable chair, but the cat was slept on there, so I couldn't sit on there. So I sat on the kitchen chair, and she moved the cat off and sat on there. And then she said to me, would I like a cup of tea? So I had it in one of her cups. It was spotless. Everywhere was spotless. Please don't think it was different. I've been in some places where I've drunk tea with so many circles around the cup that I didn't know how many people had drunk from it before. But not this one. This was all right. And she sort of walked around, and she'd got nothing in her larder, as far as I could see. I didn't go and look deliberately. But she offered me to share her tea with me, and I declined because it was a jam sandwich. Now, not that I didn't want a jam sandwich. I didn't want to take the food out of her mouth, really, in truth. I knew that if I ate half a sandwich, she would have to manage on half a sandwich. So I declined. And on this day, she walked in through the door, we were raising the money, and she put in my hand an envelope. And I looked at it, and I thought, oh, thank you. And I passed it through to the person counting the monies, because obviously I wouldn't open the envelope without two people being there. So I passed it through to her, and they said, Mrs. Gask has given a £5 note. And she had. And it turns out that she'd been saving for weeks in order to save up enough money to be able to give £5 towards the heating. And I stood there and I looked at this lady and I thought, you absolute fraud, Keith Hallett. This lady is a person of God, and when you came here, you stood and you wrote them all off as people, just because you thought they were older. And she's just shown you what commitment to the Lord means. And she'd apparently been saving a coin or something for months. One a week, bit a week. And she'd gone to the post office with her coins and she'd changed it so she could give a £5 note. And I'd written them off when I came. I was a Pharisee, wasn't I? I was a Pharisee. And I had to learn an enormous lesson that day. And God taught me that lesson. It's not what we think, it's what he sees. And he didn't see a Pharisee. He saw a fraud standing there talking to himself. And he saw a man who had nothing but was offering everything. Lord, have forgiven. And I at that moment suddenly realized that in fact God in his mercy was teaching me the same lesson. I learnt it there vividly. Mrs. Gask, I loved you on that day for talking to me. We did see change. God was gracious to us. There were people that came. I discovered after time that were four younger people in the 16. Younger, that meant they were in their 40s. One ran a tiny, disillusioned little tiny Sunday school. And fortunately, Jill got alongside him, showed him how to run it, and it became a really effective Sunday school. Then there was another couple who the main big church had asked to leave because they were troublemakers. And they came in, and I will tell you many other things. But I don't tell you at all a story of Keith Hallett the Pharisee standing up and doing things. I tell you a story of God's grace moving amongst people and changing situations. And we're in this very difficult situation today. I think we need to be praying not just for ourselves, but for our neighbours around us, that God would in some remarkable way use this wretched virus, which is not of him. And let's pray for protection for our neighbours and our friends, the people that meet us, and also for peace and for the ability for us to be able to say the right thing to them. It's very difficult to know what to say, isn't it? But we want to be people of peace in the situation. We want to be filled with God's grace so that wherever we are, and they're talking on the radio this morning of being in shutdown for some time, considerable time. We want to be people of peace and assurance there, and we need to be praying for our friends and our colleagues. There, many of them will be frightened. Very frightened, not just for themselves, but for older people. We need to be people of assurance that know where we're going and what's going to happen to us. And then perhaps we can pray that we've mentioned in the evening service in the Prayer Unlimited, to pray for that you and I might be at the right place at the right time, speaking to the right person, and God's grace give us the right words to say. I've no idea. I can't tell you what to say, but God can whisper in our minds and give us just the right thing to say. Let's pray that out of this awful, awful, evil situation that is around us, that God would move amongst us and amongst the people that we know, and that as we meet with them and speak peace to them, we might have the right words to say. Oh, will you pray for me, and may I pray for you, and would you pray for each other as we go through this situation? We need to be men and women of peace and assurance in the future. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Lord, we're not going to look down on other people who haven't got the assurance that you've given to us. We're not going to look down on them. But we care for them. So as we stand here on this day, we just ask that by your grace, you will give to each one of us, in the depth of our being, that sense of your peace and your assurance. You're our Lord, and you're going to walk, as we've said, through the Red Sea with us, whatever the Red Sea is. As we go through, we pray that as we come and we walk, and we are with others, whether we're speaking on the phone or whether we're meeting them or being with them, that each day that you will give us, please, good Lord, to be in the right place at least once each day, to meet the right person, to meet that right person at the right moment, and to have the right words to say. Lord, help us to see you at work over these coming days. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Easy to dismiss the tax collector. Easy to dismiss the poor little old lady. Ordinary people, but transformed by God. As we have been, and as others can be. But it's God's grace at work, not of our doing. And God's grace at work in us and through us in others. We're going to sing together. It's 914 if you want the hymn book. Only by grace can we enter, only by grace. We offer you these, our gifts. Help us to reconcile our willingness to give and work to you, for you, with the enormity of your great love for us. Amen. Yeah. Stay standing, because it is about God's greatness, his grace to us, and we should give thanks that indeed we know the grace of God in our lives. So we're going to do a bit of thanksgiving. You know the way it works. Praise God, all you, his servants, those who serve him, both small and great. God forbid that we should boast, save in the cross of Christ our Lord. Lord God Almighty, you created everything by the word of your mouth. Blessing and thanks belong to you. We wonder at your works and marvel at your generosity.
You endowed us with life and call us to be your helpers.
Generous God, you loved the world so much that you gave your only Son.
By your grace he humbled himself and was obedient unto death.
By the cross he triumphed over sin and death and became a blessing for all people. We had no strength of ourselves to help ourselves, but those who once were far off have been brought near. And you send your Holy Spirit to us day by day, despite our frequent foolishness and forgetfulness. So we gladly thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and give you the glory with the whole company of earth and heaven. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. Would you be seated? We normally have a mission report, and the Potters have been very good and sent us lovely video pictures. But this month they've just sent us a letter, and when I read the letter you'll understand. They're a bit wobbly. No, it's settling down. Good. Just to remind you, that's Beth and Tom. Beth and Tom, the normal way we read. So, and here's their letter. First, our apologies for not being able to send a video for this update. But we really value and need your prayers at Pagasa at the moment. The past several weeks have seen many students wrestling with some of the harder parts of their trauma stories. This is a good and necessary part of their healing, but exhausting for us as staff, and especially for me, Beth, which is why you haven't received a video this time. I've been working over 10 hours a day. One girl in particular needs your specific prayers. Both her parents have died, and she is deeply struggling with suicidal desires as she misses her mother so intensely. In the past 2 weeks, we have seen God intervene to keep her alive. She is still continuing to struggle, and we are asking for your prayers to help sustain her and us. Some other things we'd appreciate your prayer about: for God to protect and sustain our family, for the donated land that we have to be transferred into Action International's name, so we can progress on the building, and for my, Beth's, emotions, carrying the trauma emotions of many students, as well as caring for staff, is challenging. And for the spiritual warfare we're encountering, that God would protect and intervene. Thank you so much for your prayers. We are really sustained by them and need them. I can't begin to explain the spiritual warfare that we've been experiencing. Your prayers are heard and do make a difference. Beth and Tom and their children, Jedi, Ella and Kia. And so as Roseanne leads our intercessions this morning, we're going to start with praying for the Potters and Pagasa, that school for orphan children in the Philippines. So let's get ready to pray.
Let's pray. As Terry said, let's turn firstly to pray for the Potter family, as we've just heard about the current challenges they're facing. Dear Lord, we thank you for this family and the invaluable and often very challenging work they do with the children they work with. Lord, we pray for your protection for Beth, Tom, and their children Jedi, Ella, and Kia. Sustain them and keep them in good health. Empower them with your spirit and guide them to the work you want them to do. Help Beth in particular not to be overwhelmed with the challenges that the children and staff at the school often bring to her. Give her peace and grant her times of rest and reflection. We've been asked particularly to pray for one girl who's lost both her parents. She's deeply struggling with suicidal thoughts as she's missed her mother so intensely. Lord, we lift this young girl to you. Praise you that in the last couple of weeks you have intervened to keep her alive. May you continue to sustain her and in time give her peace and reassurance and a way out of her current state of mind. Thank you for bringing her to the school and into the loving arms of your love when she was most in need. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Lord, we pray for our country and indeed our world as we face the challenge of the coronavirus pandemic. Let's pray first for those managing the consequences of the virus and planning how we face the next few uncertain months. Guide them and direct them so that the right actions are taken at the right time to delay and control the spread of the virus. Empower us all and those around us to obey the advice and act in an unselfish way. Particularly, Lord, we pray for those most vulnerable to having a severe illness. As those who have a faith in a God who loves and cares for us, of us all, let's not panic and let fear and uncertainty rule our thoughts and actions. A quote I saw this week from Corrie Ten Boom sums up how we as Christians should be facing this differently from those around us. She said, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Lord, we put our trust in you. Remind us of your power and protection when we feel uncertain or overwhelmed. We pray that during this time, our church community and us as individuals demonstrate by our actions and our attitudes the difference having Jesus in our lives makes. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Father God, we thank you for all the work that goes on in this church with children, young people and families. Some of it is unseen by many of us, but you are here, present and directing it. We were challenged last week to think about our giving to our church and particularly the need to generate more income for our children's and families' work. Lord, we pray that this support may come in quickly, whether from the grant applications being pursued or by our own giving. This is an important witness to our wider community and to the many children and families in need who live on our doorstep. Bless and guide our ministry in this area and challenge us all to support it in prayer and by our own giving, whether that be in our own time or our money. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we continue to pray for our world and the many needs that go unreported, although we know that you remain faithful and unchanging and ever-present. A couple of prayer points from Tear Fund this week which aren't making the news. We pray for Rwanda and in particular the people living in the poorer neighbourhoods of the capital, Kigali. They've had very heavy rainfall that has led to flooding and landslides. Lord, comfort those affected. We pray for their safety and provision of their needs and pray for the agencies on the ground that will help the people in the greatest need. We also lift to you, Lord, the people of Venezuela as the political and economic crisis continues. We pray for an end to this and pray for the millions of people who have fled the country to seek refuge in neighbouring countries. We pray for their safety and that they would find opportunities to lift themselves out of poverty. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
And finally, a prayer for ourselves. A lot of our prayers have been focused on protection. Protection from harm, from viruses, from dangers, from our own anxiety. Let's pray for Christ to surround us. And in the week of St. Patrick's Day, let's pray for words attributed to him. Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. Lord, we pray these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
And we draw our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer and say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. There are refreshments at the end of the service at the back, and there's also a confidential prayer ministry available. Just come and sit at the front here and somebody will come and pray with you if there's a particular thing that you would like prayer either for yourself or somebody else today. Christ be with me, before me, behind me, in joys, in danger. Yes, we're going to go out because we know the presence of God with us and we're going to serve him. It's his power, his grace at work in us that we seek to take and share with others. And all that time we know that as we go out, we go in the love of Jesus. We're going to finish with 997 in the hymn books or on the screens. Jesus, lover of my soul. It's all about you.
I will follow you.
Almighty God. You see that we have no power of ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us, both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and those whom you love, now and forevermore. Amen.